B-Pod Studios.
Figure something out, you know, while all this other chatter is going on with these other teams. I know, I'm sure Manny, for one, definitely does not want to play for San Diego. So, you know, they're probably trying to get a good deal from the Yankees if they can, and if they don't, then they'll just, you know, if the money is too far apart, then they'll...
Why do you think Manny doesn't want to play for San Diego? That's the one report that's been out there where actually money's been attached to it.
Well, because these guys are superstars and they have big egos. So they would rather play in a market where they're going to be noticed. And of course, every baseball player eventually wants to play for the Yankees anyway. So,
well, then why wouldn't Manny stay with the Dodgers?
Because they're not the Yankees.
Well, I understand that, but why even entertain the Padres? If they're offering $240 million or maybe $260 million for an 8-year deal, why would I do the small market of San Diego when I could have the big market of Los Angeles and they could still pay me?
Well, the thing is, they have to do the business. The business aspect of it is San Diego's all putting this deal on the table, so they put it on the table so that other teams can see it. So that's probably why they entertain, well, he's entertained that offer.
The business aspect is get the most money you can.
That too, but also these guys also want rings, and like I said, they both have egos, so they probably want to play in the bright lights of New York City.
If you're a baseball player and you have no allegiances anywhere else, whatever, I can understand why everyone would want to play for the Yankees. Top dollar, attention, and all that stuff. Some players don't want all that attention. They don't want New York. I understand where, big picture, it makes the most sense.
Well, you're talking about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, though. You're not talking about some guy from Arkansas. So these two guys do, though. They would want to play for a big market team where they get all the glitz and glamour, and they're noticed for their talent.
Yeah, I would hope so. The thing is with Bryce Harper, and thanks for the call, with Manny Machado, people talk about wanting to win. I mean, here's what really bothers me about Manny. He goes out there in the World Series and lollygags. Like, that does not look like a guy that wants to win. I understand the not busting it down first base every single play, 162 games, all that stuff.
His comments almost made it worse.
It did make it worse. Not going to do it. Like, huh? No way.
Yeah. Well, Bryce Harper's a little bit of a lollygagger sometimes, too.
Yeah, but I don't think it happens in the World Series with Bryce Harper.
No, I don't think so. But with that kind of price tag, The first time he doesn't run out of ground ball, it could be Jimmy Rollins on steroids.
Is he hitting 40 home runs?
I don't know.
We're fine. All right.
So here's what I told you. Remember, I just teased the Thomas Boswell Washington Post thing?
Yes.
Here's what he had to say. And this is interesting because, you know, we're all puppy dogs and ice cream here about Bryce Harper. Uh-huh. The people that covered him every day kind of have a different opinion. And I wonder if his teammates sometimes have that same opinion.
All right. What is it?
Though few mention it, subtracting Harper, while it will cost them 34 home runs and a career 899 OPS and some amazing hair flips, would help the team improve its attention to fundamentals. When the most famous player on the team can't go 10 days without failing to run out a ground ball or overthrowing a cutoff man by 15 feet or throwing to the wrong base or being caught unprepared in the outfield or on the base pass, it's hard to demand total alertness from the other 24 members of the team. Write it, said one prominent Nationals veteran.
Wow.
Mm.
So it was a quote from somebody in the clubhouse?
Well, I think that's his opinion, kind of transcribed to Thomas Boswell. It's not in quotations. I think it was just a general summary of the guy's feelings.
Mm.
It's kind of damning.
Yeah, that is horrific, actually. when did this come out?
I think it was tweeted by Boswell last night.
Last night.
Have we not learned over the last couple months that not everyone is liked in a certain in a locker room?
Nope. I don't want him. I don't want Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz and him. Teammates hate him.
Nick Foles and Manny Machado for life.
But, you know, we always do just look at the positive side of things.
Mm-hmm.
He is a little bit of a prima donna.
Here's the thing.
Suck, kid.
Suck.
In all seriousness, we've all watched Bryce Harper. We've watched his entire career.
But not for 162 games a year, which we will be doing.
I get that, but we know what we're getting. And I know right now, yes, you're right, everything's puppy dogs and ice cream when it comes to Bryce Harper. It's unicorns and rainbows and all that fun stuff. We know what we're getting, but at the same time, are you willing to take on what can be a headache for a guy that you think overall does want to win and will get you 35 to 40 home runs and be a potential another MVP candidate here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I mean, I'm signing up for it 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Just presenting the other side to it because he is a little bit of a...
Yep.
Pain in the ass.
He's a little bit of a football wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
He's the show me guy. I get it.
The hair flips.
Yes. All right. But if I'm getting a guy that could be an MVP, guess what? Like, look, after the World Series, I just couldn't stand Manny Machado. And Bob, you and I know a lot of people in Baltimore. A lot of people were saying, good luck to you. Your problem if you get him, that whole thing, right? To me, I'm looking at it from a bird's eye view, trying to make a judgment on this. After the World Series, I looked at Manny Machado, and I thought, oh, this guy's not even going to hustle in the World Series. I don't want that poison. And I'm like, am I really going to be mad if they sign a guy who's actually, statistically, as we talked about yesterday, better than Bryce Harper, just doesn't have that hardware, that MVP trophy, a better defensive player? Am I really going to be mad if they add that type of guy? And the long story short is no, I'm not going to be mad. If they go out there and get a guy like Bryce Harper, after they got JT Realmuto, after they went and added a guy like Andrew McCutchen and Gene Segura and all that, these are all stars. These are top 100 players in baseball that they went out and got this offseason. If they're able to add that extra piece, I mean, the expectation of this city or this season goes from a team that can compete for the division to the division favorites and to a team that can compete for a World Series. So, yeah, I'll take that with a guy that's flipping his hair occasionally or caught daydreaming in the outfield.
So here's another Philly guy, Washington Post columnist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're all coming out of the woodwork. It's almost like the horror stories are coming out.
Yeah, really.
And these guys are Philly fans. They're Phillies fans that live and work in D.C. and go to the Phillies national games all the time. This guy's name is Harry Jaffe. Please. No precious and fragile Bryce Harper in Philly. Who needs a high-priced prima donna in John Kruckland? Give me McCutchen and Reese and send Harper back to D.C.
Whoa.
These guys don't like him.
All right, I'm out. I'm done.
So
that's three shit. Washington Post columnists that have all come out saying he is not a fit for Philadelphia.
All right, who's Joe Heim?
Hey, I'm DMing with him. He's a little hesitant to come on because he's been getting roasted so bad. And he said, I was at the 1980.
There's no reason to come on.
I said, we're not going to kill you. We're just having fun. Yeah. We want your perspective on this.
Exactly.
He said, people are questioning his like fandom and loyalty.
He was like,
I was at the 1980 parade and I got people telling me I'm not a fan now.
Oh, geez.
He's like, people are taking my tweet all out of the wrong way.
We're
in the flirtation process.
You're flirting.
Yeah, we're in the DM flirting stage. So he's sending me all of his colleagues' posts.
You're heavy petting.
Yeah. You can touch, just keep it above the shirt. That's where we're at, okay?
PG-13?
I'm hoping to unstrap that bra, baby.
This is what we've resorted to with Harper.
Oh, my God.
We're over the clothes, Petty.
With Harper, with Harper anticipation, we are now flirting with Washington Post people based off their takes on Bryce Harper.
Gotta love it.
I feel like we need to just take the rest of the day off. Jimmy Kemsky will just call in and talk to no one at 9 o'clock.
He can do the whole nine.
We're gonna just replay the previous 2 hours of the show. This is oh my god!
If
this
we
is
see
real.
Jamie lighting up a cigarette in that room, then we're gonna know that we're getting this guy as a guest.
Hey guys, John's on one. Yeah. Joe's on mine.
But isn't
too.
That yeah. weird? Three post columnists who cover the or around the team say that.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Who would we write about in
now,
Philly?
There could be a tinge of, look, that happens when you're covering a team. When you're covering a team, you can build bad relationships with players, as we all know.
Yes.
And does that come into light maybe and hurt maybe your real feel about said player? That could happen.
Mm.
You know, that could be like, yeah, you can have him. I'm tired of his BS because I tried to talk to him after an 0-for-4, 3-strikeout game, and he blew me off and this side. Yeah, I'm not saying these guys are as petty as that, but there could be a tinge of that.
Mm. All right, now we got some more anticipation to lead on to this here.
Oh! Breaking news?
I have a random tweet.
That's how you know it's good.
From a guy, and I've actually met this guy once or twice, but he's telling me right now that he just got word that Scott Boras will be in Philly tomorrow. Again, random tweeter.
So, fact.
So, absolutely take it and run with
yep.
it. A friend of his owns a limo company.
Oh, yeah. This is the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Picking him up at the airport
yes.
tomorrow. Why? I assume for paperwork to be done, but who knows?
Wouldn't they be... Well, maybe not.
What?
The front office guys, are they in Philly or Clearwater?
Are they being Clearwater? Interesting. Why are you giving me facts, Jamie? this is speculatory.
He's just coming to Philly. It's
beautiful here this time of year.
Yeah, you just want to go.
You've been hung out,
go
man.
To the frescoes or something.
Taken him frescoes. What? What are we in Italy?
Yeah. I mean, what is he doing? I mean, I don't know.
These are the best things ever. How's your flirtatious stuff going there, Jamie? Still going?
I'm crafting my next response. I'm trying to give him his platform.
He's crafting.
Yeah.
Just add a heart emoji. You should be all right.
I can't believe this. Answering emojis.
I can't. This is.
He said he's getting roasted. And if you check his ratio of the tweet. He's getting beat up.
All the more reason he should come on.
Yeah, we're a support. We're
clarification.
We're circle of trust.
Trust tree.
Yeah, trust tree. You should know that.
Yeah. I'm trying.
All right, let's see what
nobody's more open-minded than the people of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to sports.
How about the people
of
this show? How about the people of this show?
No question.
Who's more open-minded than us?
I think we all have open arms. We're kind of like Jamie right now.
Exactly. Sam, let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. What are the good people of Philadelphia saying?
Today we asked, what do you want most to happen? We have over 2,600 votes so far. Our options are Philly signing Bryce Harper, Eagles tagging Nick Foles, the Sixers winning the East, or the Flyers making the playoffs. And so far, 51% say Philly signing Harper.
There you go. Now, we'll see if it goes down at all after the smear campaign thrown against Bryce Harper and all the people that are the smearing him. Hey, whatever. It's guys that are coming around. Is there anybody, you think about the Phillies in their heyday.
Well, I think Thomas Boswell is going to be like a Cooperstown type of writer. He's been doing it forever.
Yeah, I'm
that joking. One carries, I guess, a little weight.
There's some stank on
it. Yeah, a little bit of stank.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think back to when the Phillies were really good and that stretch run. Was there, I mean, Jason Worth didn't have the best of reputations. Trying to think of anybody else from that club. Pat Burrell didn't have a great reputation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the clubhouse.
Oh, that reputation.
Yes, Jamie. So I'm trying to think of like guys that were good, but just were a pain to deal with. Hmm. I can't think of anybody writing about Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, even Jason Worth. Brett Myers, obviously, but the teammates didn't hate him.
No.
A guy that for the one player to come out and say write it,
yeah,
that is damning.
But it's also approaching is he a Philly guy territory, which is the worst thing in the world.
Oh no, I welcome that with open arms. That's my favorite conversation about whether
is he a Philly guy,
whether or not somebody's Philly enough.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
But that's basically kind of what they're saying.
Yeah. By the way, Trey, the guy Ant that hit me up on Twitter to let me know about the limo.
Uh huh.
Yeah, we rode the Zamboni together.
That's good.
Then you rode the Zamboni at the Flyers?
Yeah.
I rode the one Zamboni. This gentleman rode the other Zamboni.
Oh, okay.
So I consider it to be a...
Zamboner Bros.
Yeah, Zamboner Bros. Okay.
That is pretty much what I yelled to him from across the ice. We're Zamboner Brothers.
Yeah.
But it's pretty ironclad then. I consider him to be a credible source. 610-632-0975. Look, we got a wide open board for you. If you want to jump on, now's a good time for you. Talk about Bryce Harper, whether or not you think he is coming here, whether or not you finally think this is all coming to a head. And then also Nick Foles and whether or not you actually want the Eagles to place the tag, whether it be transitional or franchise, on Nick Foles today as that all opens up today for the NFL. Coming up, in case you haven't heard it yet, we'll run through a couple of the fun cuts of the cold as balls routine with Kevin Hart. That's a segment they do. Kevin Hart and Ben Simmons sitting in ice tubs talking about the state of the 76ers, including Kevin Hart breaking down wild animals in Australia. Time at the Fanatic, 8:13.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is that any Trey in the morning? I just heard this story, and I never watched the show Empire. I haven't seen it yet. I do want to get to the Ben Simmons, Kevin Hart stuff, but what is this? You were just talking about this at the break.
Okay, I can't even remember this guy's name. The dude from Empire.
Jussie Smollett?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, I think it's Jussie.
Are you guys big Empire guys?
Never seen it once in my life.
I've watched a couple episodes, but then it started getting a little... a little weird for me. Then I just
Yeah.
So anyway,
all right.
So there was an incident where he was jumped out in front of a
this actor guy.
Yeah, okay. In Chicago. So
like close to 2 a.m, I believe.
Yeah, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, where two guys jumped him. And they doused him with bleach, and I guess the guys had on the MAGA hats, and he had a noose wrapped around his neck or whatever. And so, you know, it was a big thing. It hit a lot of the media outlets. It became an extremely big story. He went on to perform, I think, a couple days later. You know, I'm thinking, wow, you know, these two guys jumped and beat him up pretty bad, and then he went and performed the next day or whatever, a couple of days later. But anyway, come to find out, it seems like he hired these two guys to do the deed for him. They even went to the point of where they practiced it or whatever, and just
rehearsed.
Yeah, they rehearsed it, and to see the two guys that he hired to beat him up. I'm thinking that he would have way more damage to his body because these guys were like bodybuilders.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it was make sure, hey, no serious hits to the face, you know, everything neck down, you know, nothing too physical. But anyway, yeah. So
anything but the face.
Yeah.
What is the Anchorman battle?
No touching of the hair or face. Yeah. So, yeah. So it comes to find out that it seems like he staged all of this.
Really? Yeah, apparently he was getting written off the show, and I guess he thought this would be a way to keep his name relevant in the news, and staged all this, and the FBI was involved, Chicago PD was involved. He went on Good Morning America, did the whole sob story about people not believing him, because it did seem a little too, on the surface, too
suspicious.
Yeah.
It just seemed like who
almost too perfect.
Yeah.
Who would pick him out? I don't know, you know, but hey, there you go. So yeah, so
but apparently the two friend extras from the show got arrested, and he's now fairly disgraced.
I would know him. I think he was in the Mighty Ducks movie.
Was
like
he?
A million years ago. I remember seeing something about an actor getting jumped. And I remember making the connection, not to Empire, but the Mighty Ducks. That's what I got going on. Wow, that's insane.
Yeah.
So jail time, still written off the show? What's going on?
I would imagine jail time is coming.
Yeah, and it was also a letter that I guess was sent in, and he felt like it didn't create a big enough reaction. Hmm. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to show you guys. You know, and stage this beating.
That's pretty crazy.
It's crazy, man.
Pretty crazy. Let's get Jimmy up here. Jimmy,
he was Terry Hall in the Mighty Ducks.
He was Terry. Okay, is that who he was?
Yeah.
There we go.
Look at that fun fact.
That's me in modern television. What can I tell you?
There you go.
Well, what's up, Jimmy?
Yo, guys.
All right.
Yeah, that guy's a clown, man. And he was saying they said all kinds of racial stuff, but anyway, screw him. Anyway.
Yeah.
I know what? I'm sick of these damn baseball. I'm sick of Harper. I'm sick of Machado. I'm sick of them all complaining. Oh, we can't sign. We can't get our millions and millions and millions of dollars. We might strike. Like, screw these guys. I'm sick of them.
Go ahead, man. Preach.
I don't hear it anymore.
Preach. I know you're not the only person. Go for it.
That's it. It just drives me nuts. Sick of it.
Annoying,
man.
How would you solve the problem?
I'm just take the damn money. They want so much damn money. Just take it. What's wrong with $40 million or $30 million a year?
Is that good enough?
You got to hold out, or is it Scott Boras? Swinging his thing around like, hey, I'm the big shot.
I think it's Scott Boras more so than it is the players. I think if the players
so annoying.
If it was the players, they would be in camp already. They would be at spring training.
But would they?
I think they would be.
I'm thinking like Harper. Do you think Harper actually wants to come here? We've been offering all this money. You know, we offered the most money.
Yes,
or at least you would think so with what Klentak said.
Yeah,
like it just seems like you don't want to be here. It's either that or it's Boras.
Yeah, I think that it's Scott Boras. I don't think that it's the player. I mean, look, it'd be one thing if it was football and it was training camp and players weren't reporting because they wanted to hold out.
But it's baseball.
Well, no. Not even that. Nothing to do with that, Jimmy. Nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the idea that if it's baseball, these guys want to be around each other. They want to be at spring training. They look forward to Playland. It's not like it's training camp.
That's what you would think.
I think it's all the agent.
Ah, Jesus. All right, we got to do a juicy smile up to that guy. For Boris.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm going to go that way.
I don't know. I saw a video yesterday of one of the workouts that the Phillies were doing, and I could see why maybe Bryce does. You actually, Trey, you can appreciate that, having gone through grueling training camps. Mm-hmm. So players were standing on third base. They acted like they were watching a ball hit to the outfield. They took three steps off the base. Then they realized the ball was going to be caught. So they went back, tug up, and in half speed went down towards home plate.
Yeah.
So they were practicing tagging up.
Yeah,
like that's grinding.
I know.
I know.
It seems, anytime I look at the video, I'm like, man, that seems so grueling.
Yeah, it's a good thing they were going half speed.
Yeah, because you don't want to pull anything.
That's 90 feet.
Yeah,
that you're running.
You know, you don't want to pull anything. You don't want to strain anything.
I sense sarcasm from you.
We
want to
make sure that we start the season off.
Picking up on that?
Here's my favorite new drill, all right? And this is by far my favorite drill.
Well,
first off, you have to practice tagging up. Ryan Howard once got hurt trying to go back to the bag.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Yeah. I'm all for
that. You got to get the fundamentals down.
Did you see what Reese Hoskins was doing at first base yesterday? Reese Hoskins, they were grounding lightly hit ground balls to first base.
Mm-hmm.
He would glove them, and then with the glove, no transition, just toss them to the side.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, flip to first base, like it was, like, covering a bunt or something like that. It was just lightly hit ball to first base. He fields it with his glove, and then just, just tosses it aside with his mitt.
That'll pay dividends in the Grapefruit League game on Saturday.
Yeah, man.
My favorite drill is when they have the pitchers on the mound with no ball, and they fake pitch, and then somebody's standing right around home plate, and they roll a ball out like it's a bunt or something, and then the pitcher runs and picks it up. Runs, I should say, like strolls.
Yes.
Picks it up, and then fake throws to first.
He has to fake throw it.
Yeah, because you can't really throw a tray.
There might be balls flying all around,
and you don't want balls hitting people in the head.
Absolutely not.
No.
See that?
Does the first baseman fake catch?
Yes, yeah, and maybe he fakes even strides. Yes,
two hands on that glove.
Yeah. Actually, Rob Manfred said that they're going to do the pitch clock.
Yeah, they are going to try it out,
and no baseball. They're not going to have any baseball on the field. It's all going to be pantomime playing. It's the new evolution of the game.
I'm against that pitch clock.
How long is it going to be? Like, what's going to be the
30 seconds? I think it's 20.
Oh, okay, 20 between pitches.
I thought it was 20.
Yeah, I remember 20 and 24 or something like that.
You know who's got the worst job in the stadium?
It's that guy.
That guy. I sat next to that guy at a minor league game in the press box.
There's got to be over 250 pitches a game. So you're figuring around between 250 to 300 times a game.
I could have sworn it was 20 seconds in Lehigh Valley when I went up there.
Yeah, that's probably
right.
See
what they're doing at Major League Baseball. They need to, look, the game does need to be, there is so much dead time in baseball now. Like, I was trying to watch the World Series, and, like, it's just games are dragging on. And it's just, I like strategy and all that, and I like the idea of, first off, I commend, and who was the coach? I can't remember who it was in the postseason that started a lefty.
Right, and then took him out after one batter.
Yeah. And I like the idea.
The Rays were doing that all season long. They were starting their relievers.
Well, yeah, but Romo was starting out.
Games. I forget who did it in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they were doing the same type of thing. And I'm thinking, hey, kudos to them. They found a way to flip the script.
Yeah,
but then it just seems cheap.
One of the proposed rule changes, which I'm actually in favor of, would be the minimum batters for bullpen guys to cut down on the amount of pitching changes.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, I think you'd have to face a minimum of two batters. They're saying. As opposed to, you know, a guy that could come in for three pitches now and leave.
You know what I do hate? I hate how the pitcher has to be taken out by the manager or by a coach.
Yeah.
Just send the next pitcher in and be like, you're out.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Brett Brown running onto a court and being like, Joe, you hold on, I'm making a change.
Yeah.
And then you bring in,
Boban.
But here comes Boban.
You have to take the ball from him first.
Yeah, right.
Stand there and then pat him on the ass as he dejectedly walks to the bench.
Just waste so much time.
You got to give a little pat, maybe a squeeze. I don't know.
So you're taking him out. He's done. Right.
So with this the pitching clock.
Yes.
So is it whenever the pitcher gets the ball back in his hand?
I believe so.
So the catcher might be able to just like, all right, I'm just going to hold this here a little bit. And then throw it back.
There's loopholes for everything.
Oh, yeah. You figure it out.
But I think that's actually, I honestly don't know when it starts. I can't remember.
Might be after the call's made, like strike or a ball.
It might be, yeah.
Boom.
That would make more sense if you actually want to speed up the game.
Yeah.
Let's get T up here. T, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
I was calling because I just had two quick things about my Phillies. First of all, could you possibly imagine in a year or so a lineup that would include Hoskins, Machado, Harper, Trout? I mean, is that even feasible? Because, I mean, that'd be like a murderer's row right there.
Yes.
That would be at an all-star game. I don't think it's going to be here
Philly. I can totally picture it happening.
Machado, Harper, and Trout?
Oh, he said Machado.
He had Machado.
Is it realistic?
Yeah, that's going to be a no from me, T.
That's going to be a no. Okay, and I just want to say that we're spending all this time worrying about these big bats in the market, and I think that the chink in the armor is our pitching. Like, there's still things with our pitching, our rotation that we have to get done, and I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I think you got to shore up the starting pitcher. Mark and I both like Keuchel, but we have gotten Jamie doesn't. I can see why he's on the downside. And I got a tweet from somebody saying he did give up the most hits in baseball last year. Mm-hmm. All understandable. That. Yeah. I don't know. If you could get him on a short deal, I wouldn't mind him still.
Okay, I'm just concerned about our pitching staff. I think that I don't know if it'll last. So that's all I got for you guys.
All right, thanks, T. Appreciate it, man. No, they definitely have to bolster the rotation. But here's the thing. When the Phillies went into the season in 08, this is the thing that always reminds me of pitching wins, baseball games, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Phillies had the best rotation ever, maybe, right? When you think about
four aces.
The four aces and all
and
that
Fat
stuff.
Joe.
And then what, first round deuces?
Fat Joe.
Yeah, Fat Joe, yeah. He wasn't no slouch.
No, he was a solid number five.
Might have looked like a slouch, but he wasn't.
Hey, he had a home run in the World Series.
Damn right he did.
Yeah.
Fat Joe B on the bump. But look, of all the things that surround the Phillies right now, you look at 08. And they had Cole Hamels was going to be a good pitcher. Not great yet. He was great that year.
Right.
Jamie Moyer, okay. Brett Myers, okay. Like, that rotation wasn't stellar by any means. They scored some runs.
Sure did.
Sometimes a strong offense is your best defense, to use
damn
a cliche.
Damn right.
That's right.
There's another Washington Post reporter.
My God.
Our boy Joe suggested I speak with her. He doesn't want to come on. I guess he felt like he was getting roasted too much.
Oh, jeez.
But another Philly transplant Washington Post reporter says this. I think he is divisive and doesn't hustle. A player who doesn't hustle and who's that arrogant is not going to do well in Philly or in the long run anywhere else. Plus, he's batted a very average 249 last season. Overrated in the long run, I think.
All right, so not a perennial MVP candidate.
That's what all the Post people are saying. These Post people got
all right. Who's this person saying that now?
Wendy Gordon.
Have you reached out?
I will.
This is a flurry
of flirtatious tweets.
No, not even flirtatious.
Well, he's going to start flirting.
No, excuse me. She is not a Post person. He just told me to speak to her.
What is she, like a fan?
She works for a PR company in D.C. and is a Philly transplant. I don't know what's going on. These Washington Post people are losing their minds.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
The Washington Post reporter.
Yes.
Who covers stories for the Washington Post.
Correct.
He's a Phillies fan.
Yes.
Won't come on with us. Is telling us to talk to a PR person.
Principal at Flash Public Relations.
What the hell is going on in this world?
Hospitality, lifestyle, and luxury.
Jamie, stop having conversations with these people.
Yeah, these Washington Post people
are
weirding me out at this point.
We're done.
Now you don't have to take into consideration what has been written. So
the Boswell thing has the Nationals veteran. That's the one I'll focus on.
Okay.
All right.
Moving on.
Everybody's lost their minds.
Moving on. This is all our brains. If you like baseball, your brain has been melted.
You have a brain of mashed potatoes right now.
Yeah. 108 days of this crap.
You listening, Manfred?
Yeah, right. Well, at least we got a pitch clock, by the way. By the way, I think it's going to be 20 seconds with runners on base.
Ah.
18 without runners on base is what it looks like.
Exciting stuff.
So isn't that just great? That's the only thing we can talk about in baseball. This is wonderful. But here you go. Here's something on a much lighter note. And this story came out yesterday. Somebody actually tweeted this to me, and I appreciate it. I ended up watching the whole video. It's about 13 minutes. But Kevin Hart, as I teased before our last break, Kevin Hart in the tub with Ben Simmons. And it's an interview. And they're having some fun. But I want to get into this one first. And this was the idea of winning in Philadelphia. Now, if you remember, Kevin Hart, Philadelphia native, big Eagles fan, big Sixers fan, was at the Super Bowl a year ago where he was trying to get on stage intoxicated. So the subject of winning a championship in Philadelphia came up between Kevin Hart and Ben Simmons as they're sitting in these ice tubs. And this is the way Ben Simmons handled it.
Once you get on the court and start playing, you kind of forget. And that was like the best part about, you know, getting healthy. You know, I forgot what happened and I didn't even, you know, realize I had an injury. That team, you know, we had a conversation where, like, we got to get a ring this year, you know.
Yeah.
We want to see Kev on stage, like, wasted.
Okay, well, that's not
lit.
That, right? I don't want that to be the perception of who I am.
Do you think it bothers Kevin Hart that that's how we will remember? I mean, he'll be remembered for other things, but that'll always be part of his lore. That on the greatest day in Philadelphia sports history, he was a Eagles fan trying to get on the stage while drunk off his arsh.
Well, I mean, what fan wouldn't?
If you had that clout, I guess.
Yeah, which fan wouldn't? Show me a fan that would be at that game that could get down on the field, that's hammered, wouldn't have tried to get up there on the stage and try to grab the trophy.
Trey, you make a fine point.
And I like how he says he doesn't want to be perceived as that, but then later on he says, you know, I was at the Boston game where we were up 20. I had a drink in my hand. And like, he has to throw in there, he had a drink in his hand.
Was he the jinx? This is the other part that was pretty interesting. It was funny because Ben Simmons obviously is an Australian, and he's a mixed race fella, African American father, a white mother, and he was talking about the wildlife that he loves so much. Ben Simmons has a crazy cat, right? One of them, like, big, I don't know, I can't forget what kind of cat it is. I think he talks about it here, but they talk about the wildlife in Australia, and Kevin Hart gets into the ethnic background a little bit of Ben Simmons.
In Australia, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen out there?
Probably like a brown snake, which is
wow. Oh shit! What'd you do?
The deadliest snakes in the world.
What was it at?
Out front.
Out front, what?
My house.
And y'all stay there?
Yeah. It's more. It's normal.
That's the half white side.
It's true.
Get this hand. It's attractive stuff.
I'm gonna take the stool, Isaac.
You're just shaking your head, Trey.
Hey, man, it's funny.
They're damn right, it's funny.
Yeah, cats are hilarious.
Generally speaking, I enjoy Kevin Hart's energy. But when he is like on, as in funny, he's hysterical.
Yeah, he is.
It's a great combination of good energy and hilarity. Mm-hmm. All rolled into one. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you if you want to get in. Coming up at the top of the hour, Jimmy Kempski will join us to talk about some stuff with Nick Foles. But more importantly, Wawa behavior. How we can all help each other out at Wawa. Also, our Wawa go-tos. Jimmy actually wrote a piece for that on phillyvoice.com about all things Wawa related, as well as all the stuff going on with transitional tags, franchise tags in the NFL, and what he sees actually happening with Nick Foles and the Eagles. Time of the Fanatics, 8:41.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas. And you know what, Sam? Before you walk out, let's get an update on our Twitter poll one more time here. See what the people... These are four things that could happen in the not-too-distant future. I want to know what Philadelphia fans are looking forward to the most, what they most want here. Sam, what do we got?
Well, you just set our questions.
Go
I'll just
for
give
it.
The options.
What are the options?
We have Philly signing Harper, Eagles tagging Nick Foles, the Sixers winning the East, or the Flyers making the playoffs. And it's remained consistent since the last time, 51% Philly signing Bryce Harper.
That's all they need. And number two?
Number two at 40% is Sixers winning the East.
There you go. Young enough team, though, Bob. If they don't win the East, maybe next year.
I voted Sixers.
You did?
I did. It's
really?
Funny. I swear. I read it before you came in here in the studio. So Jamie and I were on break on the 5 o'clock. And I just looked at it, and I just, without hesitation, my thumb went to the Sixers.
One win of the Eastern Conference by the Sixers you'd rather have than maybe 10 years of Bryce Harper.
What do you want more? I want Bryce Harper, but I want the Sixers more. I don't know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Where would you vote there, Trey Thomas?
Probably go Sixers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, where'd you cast your vote?
I would say today, Bryce Harper, just for my mental well-being.
And then what, game seven of the third round or the
second
round?
And then I'll switch to the Sixers as soon as he signs.
Dude, I am seriously worried about him.
Why is, yes, he's,
like, okay. You don't look good.
Look well. Like, Mother Teresa does good.
She didn't do well by you. Like, he doesn't look well. This is really getting to him. You know, I don't know, his wife is worried that he's going out a little bit too much.
Did that ever come down, Jamie?
She hit me with that a little bit yesterday. Yeah.
I think it's all tied together. Like, he's trying to say, well, I'm just trying to get out. I don't know if he calls her babe, but he says he's trying to get out a little bit before the baby comes, you know, so these little afternoon excursions when friends come to town are a necessity. Mm-hmm. I think it's tied to Bryce Harper.
I think so, too, because he was extra agitated yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
And then today, he comes bursting in the studio moments ago. And he goes, I'm Ken Rosenthal, right now. And I'm like, what? And he goes, Ken Rosenthal. White Sox remain strong factor, along with the Padres, in Machado's sweepstakes. Sources tell The Athletic. Machado is said to be the first choice of both front offices, the preference of the Phillies front office as well as the White Sox, though ownerships in San Diego and Philadelphia might not see it as convincingly. And he goes, 8:42. And I look at him and I go, PM.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah, I guess that was a little important part of that.
No, I thought
it was 8:42 a.m.
Prime meridian, whatever it is.
I can't even tell what time it is.
Your mind has gone to mush.
He just
friend.
Put his head down, turned around, walked out the door.
Yes,
tell me this. If you had to choose a receiver between Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown, which one would you take?
Huh?
I'll go Odell.
That was a transition.
Yeah. I'm going to play along.
Odell? I would take Odell Beckham Jr.
You'd take Odell?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Age is the only reason.
I mean, current as is.
Yeah.
Probably Odell, just because of the age.
Yeah, and plus, you know what else I'm doing? Taking away from the Giants.
Yeah, getting away from the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
The Patriots, who apparently have Odell eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
They tried all last offseason, according to Chris Sims.
Yeah, they're barking up that tree. Where you could possibly have, I think he stays in New York. I don't think he actually gets traded.
No.
I think he wants to start that.
But the fact that they have eyes for him is a little scary.
What, the Patriots?
Yeah.
Tom Brady will play till he's 50.
Yeah.
I think you can book that right there. But with back to the Eagles and all that stuff, as far as who would you rather have and all that, it's been decided. We all agree on that, right? That it is Nick Foles is gone. We've all decided that. But the question has come in as to how they move on from Nick Foles and his time in Philadelphia. Whether or not they're going to be able to place a franchise tag on him and trade him, whether or not there's a transitional tag or whatever it might be. How they move on from Nick Foles has been a big question right now. That's been throughout the offseason since the Eagles offseason started following their loss in the playoffs to the Saints. So if you had to bet money on it, Trey, as the betting man that you are, how do the Eagles move on from Nick Foles? What would you bet your money on right now?
That they might try to put this tag on him and see about trying to work a deal with even Jacksonville. I think they would like to try to, if they're going to trade him, try to keep control of it, trade him outside of the conference.
I think, yeah, they absolutely want control. I mean, every team would want control.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Nick Foles, yeah, nice try.
Uh-huh.
I'm fighting the tag. I'm not signing it. You can't prove to me that you're doing this in good faith. Well, I know I'm not. You've already said publicly that Carson Wentz is your starting quarterback going forward.
Well, like, it wouldn't be the franchise tag, though.
Well, the transitional tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, but any tag whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the most likely of the tags, I believe, is the transitional tag.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say that Nick Foles does go out there, and let's say he can't sign a big deal. Maybe he overvalued himself going into the market. And the Eagles say, all right, you know, we'll take you back. We'll give you a long-term deal for some guaranteed money, but nothing that's going to hurt us. Because are you going to be upset having Nick Foles as your backup quarterback?
No, not at all.
The only person that might have an issue with that is Carson Wentz. Maybe he doesn't want to look over his shoulder at Nick Foles.
Good point.
But seriously, I know a lot of people, who the hell would think that? Well, it's possible that Carson Wentz could think that. The Eagles, sure, they get a guy they know can come in and be a good backup quarterback for you. Guy you won a Super Bowl with. We all know the history. But if you're Carson Wentz, do you want that, or you want to have somebody else that you don't feel like you has a shadow over you? Because no matter what, you can talk about skill sets all you want, who you think's going to be the bigger quarterback. Nick Foles has that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're Carson Wentz, if you start to struggle, the calls will be out there to have Nick Foles take over that offense again.
Yeah. That puts a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Puts a lot of pressure on him.
So, bottom line, though, you see the Eagles moving on from him. It's just a matter of whether or not they have control.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, when I brought up the franchise, the transitional tag earlier in the show, I still felt like even that was a stretch. If I had to bet my money on it, I would say that Nick Foles gets to move on into free agency freely. No franchise tag, no transitional tag, no tag of any, no tag, you're it. Nothing like that. He just moves on, and he goes about the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. Bob, if you had to bet your money on it, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm
going to
bet Trey's money on what you just said. that they get the compensatory pick, and that's what they're satisfied with, and so be it.
And they just let it walk.
They let
it ride.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think there's an ounce of humanity, maybe, that you say, you know what? Enough's enough. It's time to go, and we'll let you go this way.
But for me, I know the benefit for the Eagles is to have that control so he doesn't wind up with the Giants.
Yeah,
and doesn't wind up with the Redskins.
Control of maybe getting something back better than a compensatory third.
Yes.
I don't know if the market calls for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it would be nice to try it.
I could see why they would try it. But, again, if you do that as a member of the Eagles, why would Nick Foles just accept it?
Now, how does it, if you do the transitional tag on him,
mm-hmm.
can he refuse it? Can he, I don't know how that works.
I think he can, but okay. He'd be less likely to, because he would be able to go out there and get more offers. And it wouldn't be as much money, I don't think, tied to it. Essentially, the other team would set the price, as opposed to the Eagles setting the price. So instead of the Eagles setting the price of the $25 million, I think it would be easier for him to just look outside the franchise and say, all right, well, this franchise wants me for $18 million to a four-year deal.
Right,
whatever,
right.
$18 million a year, four-year deal, whatever, guaranteed money, whatever it would be. But it would allow him to have more freedom, not all his freedom. So that would be the big difference, I think, in all of it.
Right.
The tags that they work out, we'll see. But I just don't see a scenario where the Eagles would even do that. Because to me, it just still doesn't make sense. Because why, if I'm Nick Foles, would I allow any other team to say, we're going to have a say over where you end up, and then wherever I end up, that team not being as good as it possibly could be because they have already given up assets to get me.
Yeah, and there could be that conversation between the two, and Nick says, look, just do me the solid. You know, let me go.
I think the teams...
Just let me go.
I think the party of Nick Foles and the party of the Philadelphia Eagles, I think those parties are done helping each other.
Yeah, it's like, just time.
Thanks for the memories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here.
As they said in The Lion King, it is time.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's our Lion King reference.
Well, they
have
until March 1st to make a decision.
They have time. They have time. And if you're Nick Foles, your agent's telling you everything the light touches is your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, maybe only New York, Washington, or Jacksonville. But everything the light touches is your kingdom, potentially. So we'll get into that with Jimmy Kemsky when we talk to him in a minute here. Jimmy also wrote,
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.